You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. As you know, this podcast is designed to help you save and turn around your marriage when it's in trouble. It's also designed to help you get out of trouble. It turns out that the same way you get a marriage out of trouble is the way you build a great marriage. It's just that you're starting at a different point. And today might illustrate that a little bit. Sometimes I get my inspiration for a podcast from a conversation I have or an email I receive or a question I have in coaching. And today is that. It's interesting because I had somebody call me who was very angry with me, and I said, am I familiar with what's going on with you? And the person said, no, I've been looking at your website, and you're expecting me to work on my marriage. And I said, well, I am guessing that if you're looking at my website, that you're wanting something different in your marriage and that that would require you to make a change. And he said, yeah, but you're not telling me that my wife has to join me. I said, you're correct, because my guess is your wife is not looking for help. Is that correct? He said, that's right. And I said, and you're taking the step of looking. Is that right? He said, yes. And I said, then I think we're on the same page. And he said, no, I am not going to work on my marriage if my wife won't work on the marriage. I won't do this if she won't do it. And I began to think about how that little virus invades so many relationships. In fact, I had another person who said, you talk about being a we. Well, if it's going to be a we, then both people have to work on it together. And my response was, you're correct that at some point, you two have to join together as a we to work on the relationship, but that's not where you have to start. Every relationship along the way starts and grows because somebody takes some action. Think about that all the way back to the beginning. Someone was interested in someone else, and maybe both of you were, but somebody had to take that first action of asking for a dance or asking to the movie or asking on a date or sitting down and chatting or crossing the room and saying hi. Or there's some action that started that. One person started that. Then along the way, probably somebody kind of added an extra piece. I've reached out to somebody and tried to be more more serious about the relationship or more involved in the relationship. And so along the way, if you look back, there have been plenty of times when one person has probably started the action. In fact, you might have even gotten engaged because one person said, hey, let's get married, right? And so along the process in a marriage, lots of times there you can look and see that one person started it. And if you think about the dance steps, one person started the dance or changed the dance steps and the other person joined in. Maybe you've seen the same thing when you decided to buy a car. Generally, both people don't look at each other and say, hey, let's go get a car. Somebody says, you know what? I think it's time for us to start looking at a car or a house or a job or a move or having kids or having a puppy or having a cat or having a canary or whatever it is. Someone probably brought it up and try to enlist the other person, bring them on board into the process of being a we. Nothing is different when a marriage is in trouble. It's still about trying to start the process on your own. But I see this stuck point. In fact, I think it's more of a symptom of the stuckness of a relationship when people are saying this. I've heard, I won't do X if my spouse won't do X, Y, or Z. I won't do yard work if my spouse won't clean the kitchen, or I won't clean the kitchen if my spouse won't do yard work, or I won't go earn money if my spouse isn't earning money, or I won't have sex, on and on it goes. If my spouse isn't interested in that or loving on me or sharing with me or whatever it is. And so we have all these places where we sometimes add an X, Y, or Z into I won't do this if they won't do that. Sometimes I hear, I won't be loving, or I won't be respectful, or I won't be civil if my spouse won't be loving or respectful or civil. And the problem with that is that sometimes we end up even not acting in ways that are consistent with what we think are right or important. I've seen people who would proclaim that you need to be civil to people be completely uncivil to a spouse because they're saying, I'm just responding to my spouse being uncivil. On and on, back and forth, it often goes without resolution because there's a stuck point in that. Or how about this? I won't work on the relationship or marriage if my spouse won't work on the marriage or relationship. So I want you to just step back and think about whether you get stuck in that yourself. If you've escaped that, good for you. But if you find yourself pulled into that equation, let's talk a little bit about the problems with that equation. The first problem is it's actually not at all rooted in we. Some people will say, well, you know, if you say that marriage is a we, then both people need to work on it. And my response is, that is actually the opposite of what I'm talking about, because we says, I'm all into us being a team together. I will hold us as the higher value. The best operational point is when both people are working from that point. But it can still happen when one says, I'm going to hold to we. You can't say, I'll do we if you do we, because that gets us right back to that same place. So it's not at all we. All we is, I will continue to work for us, for the team. I choose to do that regardless of what my spouse is doing right now. The second problem point is it's transactional. Transactions are always dangerous. If you do this, then I'll do that, right? That's transactional. And the problem is that it gets into a balance sheet. I've talked about this before. The balance sheet marriage is dangerous because you're looking to ask who's putting in their fair share. This is that old idea of marriage being 50-50. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. I'm all in, you're all in. But a lot of times we fall into the trap of making it transactional. What are you doing for me? What am I doing for you? I had somebody who said, you know, I did all of this for my spouse and all I got was a shrug. And my response was, if you were trying to get more than that, you had turned your kindness into a transaction. You weren't doing it for kindness. You were getting a response or hoping for a response. Transactional relationships get into trouble very quickly because, first of all, it's rarely about equal transactions. And second, you don't always see the transactions that the other person is using as kind of a goal point. I've talked about this idea of love languages that Gary Chapman so eloquently talks about. Gary's thing is that we speak love differently. The languages of love, and he illustrates 5 love languages, is how we try to show our spouse we love them. The problem is that our spouse is speaking love language from their preferred method of love language. In other words, they're speaking from their own dialect. And sometimes their dialect is invisible to the other person. And so if you think, I'm showing all these ways I'm being loving and my spouse isn't showing any love in return, it's possible that your spouse is showing love from your spouse's love language and you just haven't recognized it yet because it's not your love language, and vice versa. And then you end up with 2 people who are trying to show love who are ending up feeling unloved. What a sad situation, but that's the nature of this transactional attitude because it gets lost. You know, if one person is showing lots and lots of love, but the other person is not seeing it, as far as they're concerned, there's no love coming. And if you're in a transactional relationship, that's how you begin to judge it. And so the transactions are not coming your way in an equal way that you see as your transactions going out. And that's when you decide to be stuck. The third way this is a problem is it pits hurt against hurt. I won't if you won't often devolves into I'll do to you what you do to me. Now, this is the destructive part. You know, if you're going to yell at me, I'll yell at you. That doesn't help the situation. If you're going to ignore me, I'm going to ignore you. That doesn't help the situation. If you're going to see somebody else, I'm going to see somebody else. That doesn't help the situation. If you're going to hide money, then I'm going to hide money. Doesn't help the situation. If you're going to be hurt and angry all the time, so will I. This is where we are pitting hurt against hurt. Whatever you do will come back in kind. And what that generally does is it continues the devolution of the relationship as it begins to spiral downward. And at that point, we hit the 4th problem, which is it becomes intractable. If both people are working from the same attitude that the other person has to make a move, you end up with either a very hot war or a cold war, where both sides are just refusing to move and give up any leverage until the other person takes some change. So what is the switch? What's the way to get away from this? Well, first of all, hopefully I've convinced you at this point that the I won't if my spouse won't attitude is a great way of destroying a marriage, not a great way of saving a marriage. So let's do a switch. The first one is to move to doing best. How can I do my best? Now, this doesn't mean how can I do it perfectly, but how can I do my best? And oh, by the way, can I begin to see that my spouse is doing the best my spouse can do? Remember, we have a core belief that people do the best they can where they are. That's not that they are optimal at any point, as you're not optimal at any point, but they're doing the best they can given where they are right now. They might be better in an hour, it might be better in a week, but given where they are right now, they're doing the best they can. So we start with that as an attitude point and realize that when you apply it to both you and your spouse, then you decide to say, how can I do better? Not to say to a spouse, you need to do better, which is the whole part of that equation, but how can I do better? So that's the first switch to make, to say, you know what, my spouse is doing the best they can. I've been doing the best I can, but I can always do better. Where's my next step to move into? And that's usually about taking action. The second is a switch of responsibility. What the I want if my spouse won't gets you stuck in is blame. It's the blame game. I won't do this because my spouse isn't doing it. I won't be kind because my spouse isn't being kind. I won't because my spouse isn't. I won't if you won't is I won't because you're not. So we can begin to look at that from a different place. I believe that one of the important parts of growing in our lives is deciding to be responsible for what's going on. Able to respond. And when we're able to respond, when we choose a different response, then we're putting ourselves into a place where we recognize that we can begin to change the outcome. Responsibility means that I choose to respond differently. I find that I can respond differently. Jack Canfield has this equation, E plus R equals O. Event plus response equals outcome. Whatever's going on between you is the event. You can choose a different response, which will create a different outcome. But if you get stuck in this belief that you're not going to do anything, if your spouse isn't going to do anything, or because your spouse isn't doing anything, then the equation is event equals outcome. Where you are right now will tell you where you're going to end up. But there's an opportunity of changing your response and changing the outcome. So one way I think about responsibility is if you're in the middle of a burning house, you can ponder what caused the fire. You can ponder why we're here, why that the building is on fire, what's caused this, or you can take responsibility. And by the way, the pondering part is really about blame. Or you can take responsibility and say, how do I get myself and any important things out of here, other people out of here? How do I choose to change the situation? So that's a switch when you say, I will choose to be responsible. I will take on responsibility as a choice I can always make. The third switch is to see that a pattern change requires a change in the pattern. If you want things to be different, something different has to come into it. A pattern change, you want to go from a hurting marriage to a good marriage, requires a change in the pattern. Somebody's got to do something to change the pattern. The pattern that gets stuck is only going to be changed by some choice in it. And sometimes the choice is not the one you want. Sometimes the pattern between you, the bad situation, is changed when a spouse says, I want out, I want a divorce, I'm seeing another person, or some other change that they've brought in. But there is another option of saying, I want a different pattern of having a healthy relationship, a loving relationship, a we relationship that brings us closer together. When we make that option, it's because we've chosen to change the pattern, not waiting for the pattern to be changed on us, which usually goes in the way we don't like, but to change the pattern. So anytime there's a pattern, and there's always a pattern change always requires a change in the pattern. You can choose to make that change. The fourth switch is that you can always move to being a we. This is one of my core pieces, that you start moving to being a we by choosing to move at being a we. You don't wait for a spouse to step into we. You start acting in that way. You start viewing it that way. You start believing it that way. The fundamental place of change in a relationship is when you realize it doesn't have to be you versus me, that we are in this together. That's the whole purpose of what this marriage relationship is about, is how to build that we. And you can choose to move in that direction at any point. You can choose to take that on. You don't have to wait. You don't have to invite a spouse. You can choose to act on that, which then invites a spouse into that. If you're not sure what I mean by we, that's kind of the core of my Save the Marriage system. I believe that marriages are saved and transformed by reconnecting. Connection is the lifeblood of a marriage that moves us towards being a we, which is about being a team, a unit. And so part of what I teach is how to understand that place of being a we and how to move towards the connection in that we. If you don't know how to do that, if you're confused by that, please plug in to the Save the Marriage system. Take that system and put it in place in your own marriage. You can find more about this at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's SaveTheMarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.